The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, greetings and welcome to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. We're proud to be aired on 960 The Patriot and available on podcasts through phoenixchristian.org/beacon. And today is just a really cool day for me personally. I have some really important people in my life that I'm thankful for who God has allowed our paths to cross over the years in some really cool and significant ways. And I want to get right into it today and just welcome you as a listener, whether you are listening in your car, driving around, on the radio, or you picked up the podcast, or you're on the elliptical burning off, maybe a Thanksgiving dinner to come. I don't know. Regardless, we welcome you. We're glad you're listening in, and I want to introduce you to our guest today. We have in studio with us a father and a son, Greg Williams, and his son, Stephen Williams. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
We are so thrilled to have you guys here. It's going to be a really cool conversation. Also in studio, my right-hand guy, Jeff Blake, superintendent of Phoenix Christian.
I'm excited to be here and excited for the show.
So glad that you gentlemen can join us in the studio today. And as those who maybe listen are aware, The Beacon is a show that's intended to shine a brighter light on times when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. And those stories sometimes and oftentimes just can't be told apart from the hand of God. And today, as we have the chance to get to know our guests and talk through some of the ways in which God has been active in and through and around their lives, I think you're going to hear that thread come through in a way that our prayer is that God will get glory and honor, and you will be encouraged, and there'll be an opportunity to celebrate, not just because it always makes sense or feels good or is something we would choose, but because we can have a confidence in a holy God that's sovereign, who we can trust many times beyond how we feel. But before we get into the details of the story, definitely want listeners to get the chance to meet and know our guests a little bit. So, hey, Stephen, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what God has you doing, and your family.
All right. Well, again, happy to be here. I am a Phoenix Christian alumni, class of 2009, so 10-year reunion coming up.
Right on.
We actually just had the reunion, but the homecoming, obviously, in next week. So excited about that. Married to my beautiful wife, Courtney, who we're about 2 weeks away from our first child coming into the world. So little baby boy will be joining us very soon, and still involved with Phoenix Christian coaching baseball. Obviously that program has been close to my heart and shaping me as a man, and wanted to be able to give back and work with Coach Mark Band and still be involved with the high school in that fashion. So super fun to be out there with the guys running around, and also got a group of guys that are mostly alumni that meet about once a week to go play basketball down in the gym, and sometimes to the chagrin of Jeff over here. But it's a good part of our history and our family of being associated with Phoenix Christian, and current employment is with Make-A-Wish Foundation of America, and so I work in their corporate headquarters as an accounting manager and manage actually 7 different chapters across the country, and so that's what I do every day. But that's me.
What a cool story. And Make-A-Wish, what an amazing organization. I mean, the opportunity to be on the backside of many of those experiences that we all celebrate through media coverage, and to realize that, hey, there's numbers being crunched to make all of that happen.
Sure, someone's got to do it.
Well, and Greg, gosh, man, I was thinking in preparation for the show today when God first allowed our paths to cross, and I think it was before we met each other. Teresa and I were in a small group, and we were asked one night, we were going through prayer requests, by one of the other couples in the group to pray for a couple. She had roots in Phoenix. They were moving from Texas, and they were gonna, take a position out here and relocate in the desert. And so we were praying for you guys, by name before God ever allowed our paths across. Who knew that He would deliver into our lives something so special in this friendship? But introduce the listeners a little bit to yourself and how God has you active these days. What you're doing?
Well, I work for a company called Olson Precast. That's who you were praying when we were coming out, and so I'm the estimator for them, and we do precast manholes vaults, things like that. So I try to get to work. Right now, there's a lot going on.
Things that are important for every neighborhood in the valley.
Well, exactly. So you see those manhole lids? I did a lot of those. Well, I mean, just to go back a little further, I was up at a kids' camp in Colorado. That's where I met Connie. She mm-hmm. came up to visit her sister. She was from Phoenix. I was from California originally. So we actually met there, had a long-distance relationship, decided that we were going to get married, got married at Bethany Bible, her home church. Moved to Texas. When we were there, I was going to seminary, working and going to seminary, and then we decided that it was time to move back, hopefully. Her mom had had a stroke, and we wanted to help out any way we could. So we were thinking about coming back out. Got a call from a friend who said, hey, I got a job. And so we decided to move. We came out. Three boys. We've had three boys. Steven's our middle one. Caleb, Stephen, and Ethan, all three of them attended PC. By the way, Connie attended PC. I have nothing to do with PC in the past.
By
only
marriage.
One that was left out. Yeah, so I've been grafted in because of marriage.
Connie's a yearbook editor. Like, that was one of her many claims to fame as it relates to PC. We'll unpack that stuff later, I'm sure. But
yes, and she also kept score for the ball girl for the softball team.
Nice.
Because she was not very athletic.
But faithful to attend, as I recall.
She was faithful.
So tell us a little bit about the other boys. We heard from Stephen, but Caleb and Ethan both married. Talk a little bit about their family.
Caleb is he attended NAU, and he's still up in Flagstaff. Married sweet girl Taryn, who also attended NAU. They both work for NAU now in financial aid. They have one little guy who's a little over a year and a half, Everett.
Wow.
And they have another one on the way.
So exciting! And when is their next baby due?
Due in March.
Wow. Cousins,
another
Steven.
Another boy.
We don't know how to do anything else, but
six for six.
Yeah. So, and then Ethan is our youngest. He went to Colorado Christian, where Stephen went also, and he stayed up there, married Kelsey, uh-huh. who they met in college, and they've moved down here recently. They're battling. She's got Lyme disease and battling through that, which is a tough experience. But they're plowing through it and doing well.
Yeah. So this was actually something I didn't recall in your story, that you guys met at this camp, which was not near where either of you lived. When you first met Connie, you guys met remotely and then had a distance relationship for a while. And then when did you know, like, hey, this is a real deal?
You know, I knew pretty quick, and I think she did too. But I mean, at that point, I was 24. I had been out of college for a little bit, but when I met her, I was just like, yeah, she's probably the one.
That's awesome. And so, in one thing about the relationship that I find really cool is that, you know, Connie comes from this family. Rich Christian heritage, and for you, you're a first generation believer, right, in your family?
Correct.
Yeah. So where were you in that process, you know, when you guys first met, and how did that unfold?
Well, I've become a Christian in college, mostly through a group called the Navigators. They're very, very strong on discipleship, scripture memory, you know, having fellowship together as a group, things like that. So I got plugged in, so I had no basic background. I never attended church before, had been seeking a little bit, and then became a Christian, and a good friend Dan actually started discipling me. So that was really key for me to get plugged in and start reading the Bible and, you know, what is this thing that you know, I'm trying to pursue, so.
Yeah. Well, and then in your relationship with Connie, I mean, her love for the Lord was just effervescent. It was, you know, always evident, always on the lead page.
Right. She became a Christian at a young age, probably about 4 years old. And obviously, when you make a decision that young, you'll have lordship decisions that you got to make at some point. Right. Of, yeah, I'm still want to follow it. I still believe in it. And she was a strong Christian. So
talk for a minute just about those early years of marriage and, you know, having the kids and parenting and just that early transition for you guys.
Well, I mean, we had a lot of change at the start. We got got married in Phoenix, moved to Texas immediately. You know, as we hit El Paso, I was like, what are we doing? yeah, I'd never been to Texas. I had said, you know, I don't want to go to seminary, and I don't want to live in Texas. And so I was moving to Texas to go to seminary. So God has a good sense of humor. And but it was a neat experience. Connie had some family there that helped us get plugged in. You know, as newlyweds, it was, you know, a lot of growing and stuff. But we had a good foundation, and all the changes probably drew us closer together, really. We had to rely on each other. And
so were all of your boys born in Texas?
All three were born in Texas. And
oh, man, that explains a lot, Stephen.
Yeah. they have nicknames. Haas, Bubba, and Tex are their nicknames, given to friends in Texas who they know I didn't really want them to have those names. So.
Well, you know, that's amazing. Do you have recollection of the Texas years at all, Stephen? Were you how old were you when you guys moved back to Phoenix?
I was about six when we moved back, and yeah, it's there's some memories, but since visiting, actually, that's when the memories come back. It's kind of when you get back in that same environment and the smells and the sights and stuff. It kind of like floods back, you know, Easter at, you know, Uncle Bill's house and Aunt Judy's, and you know, just the it. But I was pretty young when we moved, so most of my memories are Phoenix. Yeah. So
the smells of Texas, that's an interesting thought, isn't it, to think about what those might be. Well, guys, again, I want to thank you for being here. If you're just joining us in the program today, we want to thank you for tuning in. We have as our guest Stephen Williams, Greg Williams, and just an amazing story that we're going to continue to unfold as the show progresses. So I hope that you will stay with us in each and every segment as we go through the show today. I think you're going to find, you know, some opportunity to celebrate God in the midst of even those things that you wouldn't wish or choose for anybody that you care deeply about. But in light of that, we've talked a little bit about this young family. We've talked a little bit about their story. We talked about how God put them where they were and what was going on, and with no real idea of how the years would unfold and what God would have in store many years later. Come back and join us in this next segment as we have the chance to unpack that and find out how tragedy would be a part of this story and how God would redeem that for His glory. So thanks for tuning in to 960 The Patriot, The Beacon. So glad to have you listening in.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, well, welcome back to the second segment of The Beacon. This week we have as our guests Greg Williams, Stephen Williams. In studio with us is Jeff Blake, superintendent of Phoenix Christian. And you, we're so glad that you're listening in today to the conversation. And this story, another story of how God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. So, you know, Greg, it's a heartwarming beginning. It's a really cool story of how God brought you and Connie together and your boys, and you're in Texas, you're doing your thing, and God relocates you to Phoenix. And you know, by trade, and I think by design, God created Connie to be a teacher. You know, in the home, in discipleship with young women and moms, and certainly in the classroom. Talk a little bit about Connie and how God wired her in that way.
Well, I mean, one of the things that drew me to her was her excitement. Yeah. I mean, she bounced around the place. Her nickname was Tigger, in that sense that she bounced all over the place. And I think I was the calming influence in her, trying to hold her down a little bit. But I think she was getting me to bounce too sometimes.
Have you ever heard that expression, opposites attract?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it ever more true, right, than, you know, in terms of her sanguine, you know, effervescent personality? Not that you're not effervescent and an excitable guy.
Oh, I'm not. She used to think I was boring.
Well, you know, she did a great job getting you outside the comfort zone on many occasions, I'm sure. And do you think that that temperament was a big part of why she was so effective in the classroom?
Yeah, she's just, I mean, she grew up in a home where teaching was a big part of their family. There, a lot of them have been teachers, and so she was definitely a gifted teacher, real strength of hers, whether she was just teaching our boys at home. But she could just walk into the classroom and say, okay, I'm going to start doing this. I mean, I could never do that just off the spur of the moment, but she was very gifted with that.
Well, let's talk about that, the family aspect of that for a minute, the Byrd family and sort of their heritage in teaching and education. I mean, as it relates just to Phoenix Christian and the part that I'm aware of, you know, where her dad was a superintendent.
Her dad was a superintendent right at the beginning, I think, or one of the first ones.
Yep.
I never got to meet him. He had passed away way before me. But and then also her brother Bob was superintendent.
Yep.
And Sister Sandy has been a teacher. Sister yeah. Becky has been a teacher.
How about that?
Yeah.
What a legacy of pouring into young minds in lots of different ways. And I know with Connie, there were times when she actually held some classes in your home. She did some homeschooling, you know, with multiple kids. I mean, when she did it, it wasn't going to be just, you know, her kids. It was like a small little village, right?
Right. I mean, she did that when we were in Texas. She had a little, you know, little preschool that she did. As our boys started to grow, she just kind of put that into the plan. So when we moved out here, she taught a little bit, but then she also took it into her home and had one time had 9 kids coming, you know, 4 times a week and just teaching them. And I think some of those kids really grew a lot. They needed to get out of the normal classroom situation. They were kind of struggling and not liking school, and then she turned that around, I think, in her lives with her excitement and her one-on-one attention. So
yeah. Well, you know, it's one of the things that Jeff did in preparation for our show today, and Jeremy, if you got me here, we've got an audio clip that we're going to play from a former student of Connie's who talks a little bit about his experience and her impact on him, and we'll get that set up. Are you good to play that, Jeremy? Okay, well, let's go ahead then and just listen in on this clip from Jason.
Hello, my name is Jason Cross. I'm a senior at Phoenix Christian. I was in the class when Miss Williams passed away in 5th grade, and she had a big impact on me just with her smile in general. I think when you ask a lot of people what they thought of Mrs. Williams, they can all tell you about her smile, and just she always had a bright smile on her face, and she always wanted to know what was wrong if we had a bad day. And then there's another thing about her is she drank a lot of coffee, and she always had like a liter or something of coffee, like a big jug of coffee. I don't know, she's just a really positive teacher and all, and like she helped me a lot with my writing. I used to struggle with writing in 5th grade, and she really just pushed me to be better, and that's what I remember Miss Williams for.
So hearing from Jason directly, one of the things that he reveals in his comments is that, you know, Connie's not teaching today. And if you flash back to when Jason and his classmates were in 5th grade, one of the rites of passage for their class was to get to go on this science camp, which was really just a great time of retreat for the teachers, for some sponsors that would go along, and certainly for the students. And, you know, 7 years ago now, that now senior class as 5th graders went up for their camp like others before them and after them have gone. But unlike some of those other trips, God had something else in store. Tell us, Greg, about, you know, that period of time and from your perspective, you know, how excited Connie probably was to get up there and get away with the kids.
Well, I think she looked forward to taking some of the kids had never been out of the city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she was looking forward to that. She wasn't feeling good. She had a cold. But going up is just the normal, just getting out, getting the kids up in the mountains, enjoy God's creation. I mean, I think she even, you know, talked to Keith DeLatt on the way up, principal, just, hey, isn't it beautiful, the clouds that God's given us. And she was always, you know, even with our kids doing that, look at God's creation. And so that was happening. I had talked to her that night, you know, after the day and just before she was going to sleep, and everything seemed fine. The next morning I was at a Bible study. They had to come find me and get me out. They said something's wrong with Connie. It turns out that she passed away instantly. Probably had an embolism and just passed out, didn't know what hit her. So the shock that brought the whole school, everyone, was pretty tremendous at that point.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that we know to be true, that it's appointed unto all of us, you know, to have that time where God's going to call us. Hopefully those, every listener either is or will be in Christ when that day comes and have a relationship with Him that will secure their eternal future. Connie certainly did, and that was the time that God chose, not a time certainly of our choosing or anybody else but of His.
Correct.
And so here, you know, we move from this season of life. Your boys are older. She's doing her thing. And then God drives a stake in the ground, says, hey, this is a pivot point. I'm going to do something different. It isn't going to be something you would choose. And it isn't going to be very much fun. And God has a way, because of His sovereignty, of taking those difficult things and redeeming them, not only for His glory, but ultimately for our good. And we come back in this next and third segment. We're going to start to see how, you know, as best we can. And Greg, I've told you before, and this will always be my perspective, I would never pretend to be able to understand what you were going through in that moment, in the days that follow, or even years later, because that just would be dishonest. But when we come back in this next segment, we're going to start talking about some of the ways that God's been redeeming that. And I hope that you, as our listeners, won't miss a minute of this next segment. Thanks for tuning in.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Hey, so welcome back to The Beacon. Today we have in studio as our guest, if you're just joining us, Stephen Williams. Stephen, thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
His father, Greg Williams. Greg, love you, man. So glad you're here.
Love you, too.
All right, and Jeff Blake. And we're kind of celebrating this story that God has unfolded in the Williams family and their lives. And that's the backdrop for that celebration was really a tragedy. And as we talked about in the last segment, that happened. It was sudden. It was abrupt. It wasn't something you could prepare or plan for or see coming by any stretch. And it was really painful and it was really difficult. And Greg, you know, before we went on the air this morning, we were talking about a passage in Scripture where the disciples come to Jesus and they have some questions for Him. Talk about that a little bit and how it relates to your experience.
Well, I actually read it yesterday morning, and I thought, well, this is kind of relates to what we're going to be talking about. But John chapter 9 is about the man that was born blind, and Jesus comes to him, and His disciples are like, you know, whose sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I mean, it had to be some reason for this.
It's not fair, right?
It's not fair, right? Yeah. And Jesus says it's neither of those. It's because God wants to show His work through this event. And that's really true in all of life. That verse was very, very prominent in my becoming a Christian. That was kind of my witness. I was spiritually blind. I didn't know really what was going on. I didn't have a church background. And that verse was like, yeah, this is my life. I was born spiritually blind, but God's working through it. He saved me and gave me eternal life. But it applies every day. You think, well, it's just a salvation experience at that moment. No, it's an everyday thing. So all through of life, we need those salvation experiences like that.
Well, and Jeff, you're involved in Phoenix Christian, and when the event happened in Prescott at the camp and you get the call and the days that unfold, talk about the ways in which God maybe has used, even now, 7 years later, and continues to use that event you know, for His glory and for the sake of His kingdom.
Well, I happened to be in the front office when the initial call came in, and immediately the then superintendent, you know, jumped in his car and made his way up, and plans began to unfold. And one of the miracles that happened that day, we were able to obviously we gathered the kids who were up at the fifth grade camp. We were able to gather them up, get them in the in the vehicles to start bringing them home. But Connie, in her wisdom and the leadership, had determined that they were going to take, if the kids had cell phones or any communication device, they were going to take them to allow the kids to focus on God and part of the function of the retreat. And they were able to gather the kids, get them on their way home, and then individually reach out with each of the families to share with the family privately what had happened. The kids had no idea. They were able to shelter the kids from the visibility of the ambulances and the emergency response units when they were showing up. And we were able to get the kids down on campus. And when they pulled in, all their parents were already waiting for them in the chapel. And when we sat down with the children and with their parents, able to share with them what had happened and help them begin to navigate. And over the years, as the students have processed, I was able to go and visit with almost every one of the kids yesterday and share with them what we were going to do and be recording today on and celebrating the Williams family and celebrating Mrs. Williams. Each of them celebrated a journey of processing, and it was, you know, probably the greatest lesson that Connie taught them on the fragility of life and the joy. And each one of the students immediately said something of Connie's smile and joy, and that was the most impactful element in their lives that Connie brought to them. And in fact, one of the processing elements, the students a couple years ago, I think it's 3 or 4 years ago, built a little cross. They've all signed it. It hangs in my office today. Every day is a remembrance of Connie and the power of teaching.
It's a great altar to remember and to not forget God's faithfulness, even in the midst of a difficult situation. And then Stephen, you know, for a number of years now since the passing of your mom, the joy of learning foundation, a 501c3, has been in place, and God's used that in a number of ways to promote the success of education in a variety of schools. Highlight by bullet point just a few of the different ways that God's used Joy of Learning.
Yeah, I mean, the idea came from really just to encourage education with that joy that my mother showed, and the impact that that has on a child's learning capabilities when they're excited about what they're learning. So a few of my cousins and I, we started this 501c3 and just hosted a few golf tournaments to get some initial funding and was able to give PC quite a few scholarships for kiddos that were expressing that joy of learning. Arroyo Elementary partnered with them with athletic stuff, just because that's that extra stuff that makes you excited to be a part of your school, have some school pride. And then also with the Royal Palm Middle School with their science department, and they were doing some exciting experiments and whatnot that they couldn't afford to do, and we went ahead and sponsored all of those. So just fun.
Well, and currently no immediate opportunities for fundraising golf tournaments, but hey, stay tuned in the future. Joy of Learning could make a strong comeback. Look for that. And as we turn the corner into our next and final segment, listeners, you are not going to want to miss this, because you will hear how God literally brought joy back into Greg Williams' life.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Hey, once again, welcome back to The Beacon, sponsored by Phoenix Christian. We're so glad you tuned in today. We're thrilled to have as our guests both Greg Williams, Stephen Williams, and then in studio with us, Jeff Blake, again, as we wrap up the show today. We start this final segment. I want to start with another clip from a student of Mrs. Williams from fifth grade, who's now a senior. Listen in on Tia.
My name is Tia. Mrs. Williams was my fifth grade teacher, and one way she really impacted me was she always made me smile when I was feeling upset. And she always smelled like coffee, and now I'm obsessed with coffee. So it's kind of a way I get to remember her every day, and I didn't even think of it before. And she loved pink, and she taught me that it was okay to be a girly girl and to be proud of that about myself. So, yeah.
So Tia, another student from that class, clearly still, emotional and passionate about the relationship and the impact and the legacy of Mrs. Williams. So, you know, we've talked about some of the difficult aspects of that sudden loss and that instant change and a new normal that, you know, even now years later is still being unpacked. But among the many, many ways in which God has continued to redeem and use, even in her passing, Connie's life has been the way he's provided, Greg, for you joy in your life. And I mean that both figuratively, spiritually, and even literally. Help the listeners understand why that is such a key component.
Well, I mean, joy is something that the Spirit gives you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not happiness. Happiness can be part of that, but it's fleeting. When I tell people, you know, it's their birthday, I say joyous birthday now. I don't say happy birthday, and it's because I want it to last. So joy is something that lasts. One of the first things, the first morning when I woke up, and maybe it wasn't even waking up, I don't think I slept. I got up, I said, well, what am I going to do now? And I just heard God saying, just keep doing what you're doing, which was get up, you read your Bible, you journal. And that, I think that really clicked for me. It became more of a, I don't just do it when I feel like it. I really need to do this or I'm not going to survive this. That's kind of how I felt. And so that was a real part of just getting close to God, saying, why has this happened? You got to work through all those questions. And he's there. And it was amazing the different verses that he gave me. And really, you just start reading through the whole Bible and you realize this is a whole salvation plan and this is all about that. Every step of the way, it can be related to tragedy and God turning it into something better and bringing joy into your life in spite of the consequences and the situations that you're in.
Greg, I'll stop you for a second because during that season, as I recall, we have a pastor friend who would say, you move from knowing to believing when something you know to be true becomes true of you. All of us know that God is close to the brokenhearted. But when you become the brokenhearted and you feel his presence in a way that maybe you hadn't sensed before, his word becomes alive. One of the things that I will forever be grateful for, and I speak on behalf of hundreds and really thousands, that when you began to sort of let us into what God was teaching you, through journaling on Facebook and elsewhere, we're really forever in your debt because God was and continues to work through that. So thank you for being transparent and willing to share some of what God's been teaching. That's been really meaningful to many of us.
Well, and I think it was important for me too. Yeah. Not only it's good to know that I'm helping others. I mean that's huge. But it also helped me to be able to express.
Yeah.
My nephews set up a blog, and I would have never done that. I'm not techie enough. But
watch out, you have a radio show.
Yeah, I know. it's just, that whole experience was very healing for me as well as helping others.
Yeah.
But what's also interesting with that is this lady who was also a widow heard about the blog, and she started reading the blog, and I didn't know it at the time, but she came to church one day and wanted to meet me, and I was like, oh, here we go. and so it turned out to be Joy James, who her two older kids actually went to PC.
Yeah.
And I had coached her older son in Little League, and so I knew who she was. We didn't really know that much about her. So we just started talking, and she was started coming to Bethany, and we shared books and things like that to encourage each other in our path because, she was going through the same process. And so probably about 7 months later, God kind of changed that. I just felt like, this is probably something more than just friendship, just helping each other. And I really felt God say, this is okay.
Yeah.
You struggle with, I don't know, should this be happening? And you struggle with the fact, I've already been married, and do I really want to go that path again? And And I really felt that God say, yeah, this is good. And it just so happens that her name is Joy, and how that relates to everything.
Nice one, God.
Yeah. He does have a good sense of humor. And one of the things, when we got married 3 years ago, Isaac's name means he laughs. Mm-hmm. And, Abraham and Sarah were able to laugh finally at that whole experience. And we just look at each other still and go, we're married. And it's this, we just kind of laugh.
Well, and it's amazing. And so Stephen here is one of three adult kids, and you see your dad, and you're going through, your own struggles and processing and whatnot, and you get to this point where God literally brings joy, into his life. And as you watch their marriage and their relationship unfold, what's that meant to you to see that in your dad's life?
Well, as my dad already knows, it was actually pretty tough.
Yeah.
Initially, just the shock of losing your mom and then seeing your dad go through a really tough time, and as we're going through that tough time as well, and then
of course
Joy coming into the picture and just that transition. And something that one of our fellow friends Ted Weasty shared is with me that stood with, and it's still present this day, is that it's never not going to be weird, but it's okay. And that's kind of where
a great way to put it.
Where I fall back, and then it's like, yeah, we were adult. Like, I was just about to graduate college when this all went down. Like, so Joy is, like, people say stepmom, and you're like, no, that's Joy. That's my dad's wife. And there's that disconnect there in my mind. But at the same time, she's so great for my dad, and they're great for each other, and the way that their love for each other surpasses that weirdness that we might feel with my brothers and I, and even our wives, and how we see how dad is with her, and that's what makes it okay.
Yeah.
So again, it's never not going to be weird, but it's okay.
But it's totally okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that idea that it takes a greater fear to cast out fear. The idea that, wow, as weird as that might be, the reward, the benefit, the joy that comes in seeing their relationship, their love for the Lord, for each other, and then for those with whom they come in contact, far outweighs the weirdness. It makes it great and makes it okay. Well, Greg, it's so meaningful to get to celebrate this thing that you wouldn't pick, you wouldn't choose, you wouldn't normally, wish, certainly on anybody, that sudden loss of your wife and the relationship. And yet, when you look at it and you go back to, what Jesus was teaching the disciples, you got to see God's fingerprints all over the days subsequent to that and even today. Talk to us about today, you and Joy and life and how God's using you and the way you get the chance to serve and follow him today.
Well, there was a picture of seven of the seniors honoring Connie, mm-hmm. with a picture, and it's amazing that they're seniors now. And one of the things, when it first happened, my first thought was of the kids. Mm-hmm. What about the kids? And seeing that picture, you're like, this is a good picture of how God works. It's you move forward, you keep going, and you take it with you. As Stephen was talking, I'm just thinking, yeah, but we still talk about, even with Joy, we don't say, oh, we don't talk about Connie anymore. No, it's forefront. It needs to be part of our lives, period, because our kids, all the years they had with their mom, and it needs to be part of you. Just take it forward with you, but you have to carry it in the right way. You don't want it to overwhelm you, and you don't want it to, you don't want to stuff it and never think about it. It needs to be an important part as you go. And so I think that's really important. And the same goes for Joy's family. Now I have four families that I'm dealing with, and I love them all.
Yep.
And it becomes a little bit overwhelming at times as far as time frame. But we're going to have Stephen's son will be our seventh. And then Kayla's would be our eighth grandchild. And so
cool.
Just what a blessing. I need to get a second job to spoil properly.
That sounds like the making of a bumper sticker. I need a second job to spoil my grandkids properly. Well,
exactly.
I totally get it, and that makes sense. Well, any parting thoughts from either of you guys, Steve and Greg, on just somebody who might be listening today who's it's a little fresher for them. They recently lost somebody, or they're facing the loss of somebody, and they're going into that dark place, whether they realize it or not. How about some closing thoughts for them?
I already said it once. I can't stress enough how important it is to really, you know, people say, well, just read your Bible. It's not read your Bible. It's you got to start really being desperate about reading your Bible and watch God speak to you with his verses, his powerful word into your life. And then you'll feel his presence even closer. And he helps you work through the questions to take the step forward, move forward with peace in your heart,
yeah,
and comfort, instead of fighting the fact that, you know, he took my wife and I don't like it. And you have to go through that, but he does work us through that, to live positively. And, you know, let's look at the future. She's in heaven.
Yeah.
And so it's not like we're not grieving with hope. We grieve with hope and we have peace with that.
Well, you talk about the word of the Lord, inspired by the Holy Spirit and living. Who knew those navigator routes were going to be so critical later in life? Stephen, any thoughts?
Yeah, just the aspect for me that I clung to in this whole tragedy and the situation is that our circumstances don't impact God's character. He's the same now. And forever, and the word that I clung to is just that God is good.
He's good, he's faithful, and like you said, he's unchanging, and he's with us.
Yep.
Emmanuel, you know, in the good times when we celebrate, and we feel like celebrating, the times when we feel like crawling under a rock, Emmanuel, he's still with us. Jeff, give us just a little bit from the sponsor as we wrap up the show today. And thanks for being here.
Super, super encouraged and blessed to sit here at a Front Row table and just listen and learn, and inspired even more for Phoenix Christian to embrace joy and the true meaning of joy and the temporary nature of happiness, and for us to engage each day, each opportunity with students. If I could celebrate something that happened yesterday, we're pretty excited about. This is the first time it's happened this soon. We're graduating 55 seniors, including Connie's class. And that class yesterday surpassed the benchmark of earning over $1 million in scholarships. And we're not even we're basically a quarter way into the year. And they've got much more money to earn as they anticipate college and next steps in their life.
Well, we celebrate that. We celebrate the Lord. We're thankful again to our guests, Greg, Stephen. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks to Phoenix Christian for being our sponsor. Thanks to you for being a listener. I want to thank my mom for tuning in faithfully, our family members, and anybody else who hears the message. May you be encouraged. May God blow your mind with his faithfulness. Thanks for listening to The Beacon. Have a great day.